I'd like to look at Psalm 103, if you'd turn there with me. This is in anticipation of this holiday that we're celebrating, and hopefully the holiday that we're celebrating will be Thanksgiving. There can be a difference, as you well know. We can be so busy celebrating something that we don't thank God. I'd like to look at Psalm 103. And of course, the topic is basically what it means to praise God. In the first five verses of this psalm, the psalmist takes up his relationship with God, and he praises God. And I think it's through this psalm that we can learn to live more thankfully before God. And we do that by focusing on all the good things that God has provided for us. Psalm 103, and I'll read the first five verses here. Read this way: Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. In this opening, so many times he uses these same words, praise the Lord. Or if you're reading from another translation like the King James Version, it's bless the Lord. Bless the Lord or praise the Lord. And to praise or bless the Lord is really the whole theme of this psalm. Many hymns have a common theme. And that's why you could very often have a title for a hymn and see that theme reflected in each of its verses. And it's also true here in this passage. Forget not your benefits. There's another one, kind of like, they inquired not of the Lord. One of the things that we sometimes do is forget all his benefits. We don't keep that in view. And it's a good thing Thanksgiving rolls around at least once a year so that we can stop and think about that and chart our course again. It's a good thing, I think, that we provide in our worship service a time of personal communion with God so that our hearts can return to God and take stock of what God has done for us and express our praise to God. So it is here, forget not all your benefits. And then the beginning of verse 19 through the end of the chapter, verse 22, Paul turns kind of to the universe and invites them to join in praise because the Lord is the Lord of the heavens. So first there is the Lord in Daniel, a personal part that we'll see in these opening verses. And then there is the Lord in a nation of people, the sons of Israel. And finally, there is the Lord in the heavens. That kind of gives us the structure of this psalm. It occurs to me as we are anticipating this Thanksgiving week that we here, almost in the lap of luxury, where compared to the rest of this world, I know that our new reality, our new financial reality is quite different than what we ever expected we would be seeing. There's no question about that. Yet, in comparison to the rest of the world, we are rich beyond belief. We are rich beyond belief. I don't know if that helps or not to hear that, but sometimes a little stock-taking. It's important to stop and think what it would be like to live where others are. I don't know if some of you got the little blurb about Malawi, where people are literally stay in their cars overnight in a queue to get gasoline for the next day. You can remember, probably some of you can remember being in gasoline lines, right? Did you ever stay all night in your car? There's a point of thankfulness. We never had to do that, and I'm grateful for that. But here we are, where we have so much prosperity, and we could end up thinking, scratching our heads, well, what have I to be thankful about? if our minds have been occupied otherwise, we might be scratching our heads a bit, thinking, well, what do I have to be thankful about? For what should I praise him? What could I offer to God as fitting thanks for his work in my life? Well, this psalm begins to show us, I think. Again, in these opening verses, praise the Lord, O my soul, verse 1. You see the identical phrase in verse 2. In verse 20, you see, praise the Lord, you his angels. Verse 21, praise the Lord, all his heavenly hosts, your servants who do his will. In verse 22, it appears twice. Six times in a very significant way, the psalmist brings to the surface the theme of this hymn that we are to praise him. And so what does that mean? In part, we can praise him by exalting his name, or that is, giving him the God's due. To worship at times means to be lost in wonder, awe, and praise, as the old hymn talked about. To be engaged with God in a personal way where we're caught up in his wondrous person, his deeds and behaviors, and his acts in our lives. We can read his word and find inspiration for our praise as well, as we look at history, the way that God was involved in the lives of his people. It is amazing, as you mentioned, that Israel could so quickly forget all God's goodness, and yet that is the human condition. We're well aware of that, and that's why we're encouraged, I think, in this psalm to not forget all his benefits. There is that phrase, to forget not all of his benefits. Literally, it reads, do not forget all his awards, the way God awards our lives. The King James Version has a little different spin on that. It reads, to not forget, forget any of his benefits. And the New International Version says, do not forget all of his benefits. Well, I take heart in the way the New International Version puts it, because I do forget at times. And so when it says to not forget all of them, well, okay, but I can remember some. I can remember some of those benefits. I really like the way the NIV puts it there. Do not forget all his benefits. And that is the problem, even in a season of thanksgiving, that we could. What do you say to a person? What do you say of a person who forgets the good things that have been done to them by another person? Ingrate. The word ingrate comes to mind. Ungrateful. Ungrateful. And that's putting a bald point on it, isn't it? That's making it fairly straight. What do you say of a person who forgets good things that are done to them by someone else? We know that's true in human relationships. That's when we begin to feel taken for granted. And here it is, our relationship with God, where God has been so good to us. Interestingly, in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3, there's a verse that comes to mind about not forgetting the benefits of God. There in 2 Timothy chapter 3, it's a commentary kind of on Paul's culture that he's making. Paul writes in this letter, and he gives us 19 sad characteristics of his day, which he called, perhaps, he says, in the last days there will be people like this. In these days there will be things that are hard to handle, terrible. There will be people who are treacherous, perilous. There will be those who are boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents. And then in the middle of this list is the word ungrateful. In the middle of this huge list of, oh my, those are the heavyweights, is this little thing dropped, ungrateful. It's interesting, and just kind of like in English, but also in the original language, The word is developed off of a positive word, grateful. And all it takes to change it is to add the word a in Greek. And it only takes two letters, un, to make it something in our language, ungrateful. The strange characteristic of ingratitude, one person has said, is that it is the most hurting of all sins because it is the blindest of sins. And I wondered how that would be true, the blindest of sins. And it's probably in this. Most ungrateful people don't know that they're being ungrateful. Just think about it. Most ungrateful people are clueless about their ingratitude. And so that's why it could be one of the blindest things in our lives. Probably if you're an ungrateful person, you're not even aware of it. It's amazing. How could we become so blind that that we could be characterized by ingratitude? Why would we be like that? Why are we so ungrateful? And sometimes I think we forget about how good it is, how blessed we are. We don't take stock and think about all the things that God has brought into our lives, bounteous things that God has brought into our lives. I'm just this last year and this year compiling lists of things for which I'm thankful or blessings in my lives. I post them every so often for people to see because I want to be better about this. I want to be in a few years characterized as a person who looks at good things, at the good side, the sunny side of life, if you want to quote an old gospel hymn, the sunny side of life, and lives a good and happy life. So it could be just simply that we have stopped taking stock of how God, in his kindness and blessings, has made our life so full. We become dull in our spirits about all those good things that God has done for us. Prosperity. Even we are prosperous by this world standards. We are prosperous by this world standards. It has a way of dulling our senses. C.S. Lewis wrote this amazing little book called The Screwtape Letters, and in it, it picks up this thought when it says, "The long, dull, monotonous years of middle-aged prosperity are excellent campaigning weather for the devil." Look out, middle-agers. If you've lived ever trusting God for your next rent payment, and you're at the point where you don't have to do that anymore, and it's been long years since you did that, look out. It could be that middle age has its pitfalls, and that we could forget to be grateful. In this passage, I'm not going to go through the whole psalm. I'm just going to look at a few things for which we can be thankful. A few things. The first one appears in verse 3, the God who forgives all your sins. How we need to stop and think about that. Have you ever thought what it would be like for you? You alluded to it a little bit this morning about how you were able to keep coming back to God in prayer and he would forgive and he's always there. He's always there for you. What would it be like if one morning you showed up to prayer and you heard these words, "God, I'm sorry, you hit your quota yesterday." That's it. Not today. Not today. Isn't it wonderful that there is forgiveness, and he's always there, ready to forgive, ready for us to own what's necessary and then to strike out in a new effort. So one of those things is just that God forgives. And then verse 10, it says, he does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. Oh, my mercy. There are times if you got what you deserved, if I got what I deserved, I would be in such deep trouble. I can be grateful for that. Verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, that's a long way. Our sins are from him. A long way. I'll just run with me a little bit on this. If you headed straight north from here, you'd eventually hit this thing called the North Pole. And if you kept going, what direction would you be going? You would be going south. There is a place you can go south. And eventually, you could come back to this place of origin. Now, when it comes to the east being far from the west, if I head east from here, when I come back, if I'm still headed this direction, will I ever be headed west? You can't get there from here. That's what I'm saying. You can't get there from here. I think it's kind of an interesting thing that this picture is here for us. There is a way in which you could hit a place on this earth going north that eventually you'd be headed south. But the east is as far as the west. It's a figurative way. Well, it's just maybe a thing that I get curious about. I get curious about strange things, rabbit trails, if you will. But it's curious to me, you know, that we have this wonderful image that the east, as far as the east is from the west, so my sins have been cast. And I'm grateful for that. If we could just get a hold of that at times, the sense of liberty and peace with God that we would have in our souls, that would be a good way to begin a day that we know is going to be stressful, at peace in our souls. I want you to think back this last week, this past month. Think about what your life would be like if God hadn't forgiven. It helps if you play back through the record of your mind. Look back through the whole year in thanksgiving if he hadn't pardoned you. That would be a horrid experience, a wretched experience, I think, to always have those things on your mind, to never sense that you were forgiven. In Isaiah chapter 57, verse 16, it basically, this is a paraphrase of that verse. If I kept throwing up in your face your past failures, if I chose to retain an angry disposition toward you because of your sin, your spirit within you would grow faint before me. You would wither and die. It is a great gift of release, of soul freedom, that God has given us in Christ. One hymn put it this way: my sin, oh the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross. I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. Those are things that we can be thankful for this Thanksgiving, the joy of sins forgiven.